This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. It is good to be with all of you once more. You know, some time ago, we started a series called Bible Discrepancies. These presentations were designed to go through certain segments of the Bible and to essentially illustrate and or prove whether or not they did indeed square with the Bible. And some of my colleagues, like Mike James, went ahead and covered some historical, ethical, and in some cases even Christian traditional discrepancies that many of us are led to believe are in the Bible, only to come and find out and realize they're nowhere near in the Bible, not even close to being found in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, they are MIA, my friends. And this is interesting because I'll give you an example of one major doctrine that many, many traditional Christians believe in that is not in your Bible. As a matter of fact, the word is not even in your Bible. The word rapture. That's right. Comes from a Latin word, raptura. But again, the concept of Jesus coming back on a near miss to the planet to waft his followers away to heaven for 3 or 7 years, depending on the teaching that you might believe regarding the rapture, is nowhere to be found in the Bible. As a matter of fact, another statement in your mind, perhaps, that many of us are led to believe is in the Bible, for instance, again, is not found. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Remember that one? Spare the rod, spoil the child. You may think that that's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. Now, there are some scriptures, like in the book of Proverbs, that kind of come close. There's this one, especially, over here in Proverbs 23, verse 13, where it states, withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, that's a little bit crass, I'm sure, for some of us to hear it that put that way in the King James Version. But it comes close, but again, it's not exactly spare the rod and spoil the child. And there's a couple of other scriptures there in Proverbs that again come close to illustrating the principle. But again, the verbiage, the actual language of spare the rod, spoil the child, is not in your Bible. Now, my colleague Mike James covered a subject that many of us for sure are taught from little on in Sunday school that this place exists, that is the place of hell where you are eternally tormented forever and ever if you don't make the grade to go to heaven. Oh yeah, that's right, my friends. People are led to believe that God maintains a torture chamber that is managed by this fallen angel called Satan the devil, where he is allowed, under God's supervision, to torture people for all eternity if indeed they don't make the grade and end up in heaven. And Mike proceeded to explain to us that no, that's not true, that actually the word hell is translated from a Hebrew and Greek word, multiple words, by the way, that are more correctly translated as just hole in the ground like Sheol, or a grave like Hades, a grave where people are buried. That's all really it involves. And yet many of us are led to believe this old concept comes from right from the Catholic Church itself of this place where people are tormented forever and ever. Well, today I want to pick up on these discrepancies and illustrate to you another, what you could say, teaching that we're all led to believe is in the Bible, but really is not. Mike talked about hell. Well, today, I want to talk about heaven. Is there really a place called heaven? Is it really promised to us after death? Do we immediately go to heaven upon death? Or maybe we should really be asking and answering these questions. What happens to us when we die? Does the Bible explain the conditions of death? Or, most importantly, should we fear death? These are some questions I want to go through today, but before I do, I want to interrupt myself to go ahead and, as we normally do, present to you our free offers. And let me emphasize this to all of you. These are free for the asking. Nobody's going to be following up with you to ask you for money. All you've got to do is dial that number, 888-578-8791, and ask for both of these free offers. And again, let me just remind you, they're free. One is a piece of literature. It's titled Immortality, God's Gift to the Saints. And two CDs. I want to offer you two CDs. These are 2 one-hour presentations, 2 hours total. One titled Soul, Mortal or Immortal? And the other, What Happens When You Die? All three of these items, these 2 one-hour presentations on CD, as well as the offer of the literature, Immortality, God's Gift to the Saints, are free for the asking. All you've got to do, as I said, dial that number, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website there, as you can also see listed there on your screen at www.cgi.org. And again, we will get these pieces of material off to you in a few weeks. Be patient with us. It'll take us a couple of weeks to process all the contact information that you provide us with and get through our system to get off to you. In addition to that, also, let me take a moment here to remind all of you of our webcasting feature. Every Saturday, we have a live speaker webcasted in true time, real time, and he will be speaking out on some subject from the Bible or some perhaps social issue from Tyler, Texas, where our home office is located, and you can rendezvous with us there. Just go to our website to see what the time will be on that Saturday. Usually it's a Saturday morning or afternoon, and you can, as I say, hook up there right with us by hitting the link, and that's, again, over there at www.cgi.org. So one more time on these free offers, by the way. Let me bring your attention back to that and dial that number, and we'll get them off to you as soon as we can at 888-578-8791. Now, let's get back to the program here. I'm talking about these Bible discrepancies that we were addressing before the break here. My colleague, my friend, Mr. Mike James, as I mentioned, he covered a discrepancy with regard to hell. Today, I want to take the opposite side of the coin and talk a little bit about heaven. That's right. I bet many of you who are especially traditional Christians don't hear a whole lot of sermons about what you're going to be doing when you go to heaven. We hear about the fact that, well, heaven allegedly is the reward of the saved, and when we die, if we're good, if we make the grade, we will indeed successfully make it to the pearly gates and hopefully be accepted there with St. Peter and his clipboard marking our names off to allow us to go on into this paradise that we have been told is heaven for all eternity and to be with God and the Holy Host. But the fact of it is, there's not a whole lot in your Bible to explain to any of us of what goes on thereafter, what happens to us after we are accepted and go to this place called heaven. Well, in investigating this, I want to bring your attention to some information, some knowledge that's located in your Bible that I think will be very helpful to all of us to illustrate to us on whether or not even heaven is the reward of the saved or even a place where you and I are going. Because believe it or not, my friends, what I'm about to share with you is going to probably, for most of you, be rather stunning. Let me draw your attention, first of all, right over here to the book of Ecclesiastes and in chapter 9 for a moment. I want to read something to you that Solomon wrote way back when he put this book together. He says here in verse 5 of chapter 9 of this book, Ecclesiastes, we read, "For the living know they shall die, but the dead know not anything." Did you hear what I just said? The living know. We know we're going to die. But the dead, they don't know anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy, their emotions, the persona that they were, everything about them, their ideas, their consciousness, who they were, it says here, is now perished. That's right. neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. You keep reading. I'll, for the sake of time, skip over verses 7, 8, and 9, but I want to drop down to verse 10. Because again, the conclusion of the matter is quite clear. And yet, at the same time, as I mentioned to you, most likely will be rather stunning to you. In verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going." That's right, my friends. If you go to the chapter 3 of this same book, you are going to find that the writer, King Solomon, goes ahead and begins to describe the very fact that you are essentially in a material way and in a material fashion, basically the same as an animal. And that furthermore, it's mentioned there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're reminded, you and I, that we are nothing more than dust. Oh yeah, dust in the wind, as the song would say many years ago, cosmic dust, as some have said we as human beings are. But the reality of it is that there's not a whole lot of value to our flesh. I think most of us are made of water, and I think the total material cost is less than a buck when you kind of boil it all down to what we are materially speaking. But my friends, here's the real amazing, stunning, just extraordinary information in your Bible that I'm sure is somewhat surprising to all of us. In the book of Psalms, you are told, and I'll give you the scripture exactly over there in chapter 6 and in verse 4 and 5, we're told that there is no remembrance of God in the grave. Over in Psalms 115, verse about 17, we're told that the dead do not praise God. And in chapter 146 of the book of Psalms, we are told that the breath, when our life is over and we exhaust our breath, we return to the earth. And in that day when we breathe our last breath, our thoughts perish. Now, these are things in your Bible. I'm not making these things up. I hope you will look those scriptures up that I just mentioned. I do want to turn to this one, though. This is in the book of Job. The book of Job, located right before the book of Psalms, if that's the version you have. Over here in chapter 14, a very interesting statement is made by this patriarch many, many years ago. And it goes along the lines of this in verse 12 of chapter 14, the book of Job. Let me read. "So man lies down and rises not until the heavens be no more." So he's not saying man doesn't rise. He just says that there's a stipulation involved when he does rise. He goes on here and he says, "They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep." And that's just a polite term of talking about death, that they will not be rising out of their sleep just yet. "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave," verse 13, Job chapter 14, "that you would keep me secret until your anger or your wrath be past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me." Now, notice this. In verse 14, we're going to find a very interesting statement made, and this is a question that echoes down through the halls of history over and over. Notice, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Oh my friends, how many people would love to have the answer that they could believe in to that question? But it goes on and it says, and he does answer it. He says, "All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change come." So here we see the patriarch Job writing down very clearly for all of us. There is a time that is going to be coming where a change is going to, in fact, occur. That's right. A change is going to occur. The dead will rise. They will awake. He's not saying they won't rise, that they won't awake. Oh, no. He's saying they will. But there's a time, there's a specific time and place when this is all going to occur. And when it occurs, guess what? A change is going to happen. Now, This brings me to my second Bible discrepancy that I would like to bring up today, because it goes hand in glove in what I'm talking about. Because as I'm trying to answer this question about whether or not you go to heaven when you die, is heaven truly the promised of the saved? And these other questions associated with what I presented at the outset of the program, the fact is you cannot ignore this second Bible discrepancy that so often has misled people into thinking that they are something that they're not. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm simply talking about this very question. Here's the question. Are you immortal? Are you immortal? Do you have an immortal soul in you right now? And upon death, is that immortal soul in us going to literally go somewhere? Is it really going to go to heaven? Or is it really going to go to hell? Is it really going to go to purgatory, as some Catholics would believe? My friends, this is a question that needs to be answered, because so many people think that when they die, they don't really die. So many Christians today, I don't care if you're an evangelical or whether you're just a conventional Protestant or a really dyed-in-the-wool Catholic, most people consider the fact that if indeed they qualify, their promise, their hope, their reward is reserved for them in heaven, where they're going to go and get it. And that's not to say your reward isn't reserved in heaven, because the reward is reserved in heaven. The question, though, is, are you going to heaven to get the reward, or is going to heaven the reward? And the answer in your Bible, again, is just extraordinarily surprising, I'm sure, for most of us who are in the traditional vein of Christian belief. Because again, your Bible is at odds with that traditional teaching. It is at odds with that traditional instruction, understanding, information, concept of where you are going as far as your reward is concerned if you succeed in this life as being a good Christian. You see, when you believe that you have an immortal soul, technically speaking, and I want you to allow this to resonate with you. Technically speaking, you are admitting that you never die because you're immortal. What you're saying is when you die, you change life forms. When in fact, the Bible says when you die, we just read it. There's no praise of God. There's no work. There's no device. Where you're going, your thoughts perish. Like you're disconnected. You're in downtime. You've been unplugged. You're non-functional. You're unconscious. That's what we just read in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's what we just read in the book of Psalms. That's what we just read in the book of Job. That for all intents and purposes, when you die, my friends, you are unconscious. You're not at all able to move. And so therefore, obviously, if that's the case, then the indication is that if you do indeed have an immortal spirit, it's not going anywhere. And the fact of it is, that's exactly right. There is no immortal soul in you. Because you see, the Bible is all about, I've used this term before, I'm going to use it again, about being embodied. That's right. It's about either being embodied and conscious in the flesh, or being embodied and conscious in the spirit. There is no consciousness being disembodied. If you don't have a body, you don't have consciousness. Your Bible's very clear about that. If you are disembodied, you are unconscious. And until you get plugged into a player, much like a tape going into a tape deck or a disc going into a disc player, you can have a disc, but you don't know what's on that disc until you put it into a player. You don't know what's on the tape, or if you come from my generation on a record, vinyl. You know, remember those days having vinyl, you put it on a record player. But again, you have to have the player in order to find out if it's, you know, talking or if it's music, country music, whether it's classical music, rock and roll, whatever. Until you have an embodiment of the disc or the tape or the record, you don't know what's on there. So it is in human life. The fact is that you and I, unless we are embodied, we have no consciousness. Let me take you back here to the book of Genesis for a moment. I want to show you something that most people, for all intents and purposes, just ignore, and they really do need to take some time to really consider the Hebrew word that is used way back here at the beginning in chapter 2, the book of Genesis, where right off the bat and right out of the box, the Bible says this in verse 7, the Lord formed man, verse 7, out of the dust of the ground. Remember, that's what we read over there in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I referenced it, that we are dust and dust we shall return. Here, right in the writings of patriarch Moses, the law, he states right here again, first things first, we are made out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Now, most people think man became a living immortal soul. But the word immortal is not there. We read into this word that's translated from a Hebrew word called nephesh, that's what it is, nephesh. We read into that that nephesh means immortal soul, but that's not true. I'll prove that to you by the scriptures. Notice this, stay in the same chapter, chapter 2. But now let's go over here to verse 19. Same chapter, Genesis 2, 19. Here we go. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he's going to call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living nephesh. Now, what is the subject here? The subject is animals. Now, you don't believe your animals have immortal souls, do you? Of course not. They're animals. And here, the word nephesh, same Hebrew word, though translated creature. That was the name thereof, to finish the scripture there. So here's my point. If we take the word creature and put it over there in verse 7, we will see that man became a living creature. Man is a living, air-breathing creature. That's what we are, my friends. We are living, air-breathing creatures that do not in any way, shape, or form live outside of breathing air. I mean, we have to breathe air in order for us to be able to be sustained and to essentially live our lives the way we live them. So it does us well. It merits our attention. It certainly should allow for us to rationally understand the fact that we're talking about here is mankind as a living, air-breathing creature. Now, with that in mind, we turn over here to Acts chapter 2. I want to take you over here to Acts chapter 2, because if there ever was an individual who should be in heaven, it would be this individual that you would think would be in heaven. For he was known in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. That's right, King David. And here in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 29, we read, as Peter gave his first sermon on that day of Pentecost, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us today." Peter continues on in the narrative here, and then he goes on and states in verse 34, very plainly, my friends, very clearly, you cannot misinterpret this. I mean, this is as clear as daylight. Notice what he says here in verse 34. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool." So here we have clear proof David is not in heaven. Not only that, but I want to take you over here to Hebrews chapter 11. This is what is normally known as the faith chapter, but an interesting disclosure is made in the course of this narrative here in the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 11, we read in verse 13, after a listing of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, I mean, we've got Sarah, we've got some major players here, major players of faith. These are the big guys, the veterans of faith, walking with God, relationships where they literally walked and talked with God personally, in some cases on a personal level. It says in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Did you hear that? They didn't receive the promises. And then we go on, we could talk about Jacob and Joseph and Moses, listed further here in chapter 11. And again, we go down to verse 39, we're told a second time. If we didn't get it the first time, notice in verse 39, and these, all having obtained a good report, all these people that I've just talked about and listed that are named in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, it says, all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. They did not receive the promises. So what is this all about? Well, what this is all about, it's about timing. I'm not talking about the fact that there is no eternal life. Oh, there is eternal life. But it's about timing, my friends. It's about that time of change that Job talked about, that he was referencing over there in chapter 14, that is brought to light in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we're told by the Apostle Paul that this is when it happens. Notice this. He says here, there's going to be a resurrection, and he says, but in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. He goes on and he further says over here in verse 44, we are sown a natural body. After talking about the resurrection as he introduces it to us in verse 42, there's a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body, there's a natural body, and there is a spiritual body, my friends. Do you get this? My friends, there is a spiritual body as there is a physical fleshy body. And the time is coming when Jesus comes back that's when that body will be given to you. Time's run out on me. Go ahead and dial 888-578-8791. Ask for those three offers that we have, the literature today, immortality, God's gift to the saints, and the 2 one-hour CD discs, all for your own edification, for your own personal benefit, so that you can come to a better understanding of what this information is all about. Soul, mortal or immortal, and what happens when you die. Both are free for the asking. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.